Morning, morning. Morning, morning in the back. Morning, morning in the front. Let's not forget the middle. Good morning, everyone. If you're still coming on in, please do. I see some seats here in the first maybe three, four rows. There's a couple here. There's a few on this side as well. If we need more, I've got a stack here. We can definitely unstack here on the side. We're going to just roll with this. It's 11:30, so let's get it rolling. I'm Shari Williams with Channel 6 Action News. It's my pleasure to serve as your MC this morning. This particular session was geared for young girls and young women. We love to see that in the room we've got also other, shall we say, mature ladies as well. That would include me. We want to make sure that you get what you need out of these sessions. And so the title, of course, can attract many of us, The Importance of Speaking Up. We do want to stress that in part, some of it is designed for our younger women who are coming up, trying to find their way. But I know this is a title that can speak to a woman of any age, but we did want to clarify to make sure that some of the information today may be geared for those who are a little younger on the spectrum, but nonetheless, it will be about speaking up. So if this is where you want to be, please stay. If you weren't aware of that, we wanted to make you aware just in case you wanted to make a change, just out of courtesy and full disclosure. Okay. So welcome, everyone. It is my pleasure to be here with you for this important session and for this great event. I will be the session MC. I'm so thrilled to be here once again. We're so excited when we get invited to be back for this and to support, of course, the advancement of women leaders from across the state and also to support this community right here. This, the importance of speaking up, as you can imagine, is all about, of course, speaking up. And we're going to get some expert advice on how to do that. 6ABC Action News, we are so thrilled to be a partner with, of course, the Pennsylvania Conference for Women. The Conference for Women, of course, offers a blend of practical tools and also advice and things that sometimes just pull at your heartstrings. I dropped a few tears last year, probably the year before that, because I came and I too was inspired. I hope that you will be inspired as well throughout your day today. So thank you for participating in The Importance of Speaking Up. We have an amazing hour in store from here on out. I am so excited to introduce our first speaker of this morning, Ms. Valerie Smith. Valerie Smith is a distinguished scholar of African American literature and the 15th president of Swarthmore College. Smith's significant priorities at Swarthmore include attracting more low-income and first-generation students, providing innovative curriculum, increasing diversity, and strengthening those relationships, of course, between the college and the region. Smith began her career at Princeton University. She taught for a very long time at UCLA. She then returned to Princeton in 2001 as the Woodrow Wilson Professor of Literature and also for the Professor of English and African American Studies. And she, of course, then later served as the founding director of the Center for African American Studies and also the dean of the college. Her accolades go on and on. So, without further ado, please welcome to the stage the president of Swarthmore College, Ms. Valerie Smith, as we talk about the importance of speaking up.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Shari, for that warm introduction. Thank you to the organizers of the Pennsylvania Women's Conference for inviting me to speak with all of you today. I'm delighted to be here along with Dina Blizzard. Dina, where are you? There you are. Dina, your work speaks to the power and the importance of humor. Thank you so much for the lights. I'm sitting here thinking, how am I going to do this when I can barely see the page? But okay, now we're cool. Dina, there you are. Yeah, so Dina, your work speaks to the power and the importance of humor, satire, storytelling, and the arts. And I am thrilled to be able to share the stage with you. Thank you. So to the young women in the audience today, to the activists, scholars, athletes, artists, you are an inspiration. Your generation's conviction and courage have helped to move our country forward and create real change during deeply troubling times. The challenges you face can seem overwhelming, and too often your voices are questioned or ignored. I want to take this moment to say we hear you, we are listening, and we support you. So I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Am I getting any Brooklyn people in the house? Okay, I thought so. I always feel when I say that, I gotta get something back. Okay. I grew up in Brooklyn. I studied literature in college and graduate school, and I spent most of my career as a professor of English and African American studies. For 4 years, I was dean of the college at Princeton, and I'm now in my fourth year as president of Swarthmore. Today, I want to share three pieces of advice that have helped me learn to speak up and to speak out. But before I share these three pieces of advice, I want to confess something to you. And here's my confession. As I thought about what I wanted to say to you, I had to ask myself, did the organizers make a mistake when they invited me to speak? Now, why did I think this might have been a mistake? Well, this is a session about speaking up. And here I am sharing the stage with Dena Blizzard, a woman known for her quick wit, assertiveness, and fearlessness. A woman known for her ability to speak out and speak up. But I, on the other hand, am a nerd. I love to read, I love to write, I like to think about ideas. As a professor and as a college president, I speak to audiences and advocate for higher education, the arts, racial and gender equality. But I am at heart an introvert, a nerd. For much of my life, I have been what Issa Rae calls an awkward black girl. Do I really have something to say about speaking up? But then I realized that despite this fact that I'm kind of nerdy, awkward, and introverted, in fact, or maybe even because I am kind of nerdy, awkward, and introverted, I do have something to say about speaking up. And what I have to say about speaking up may be helpful to you, the young women of today who will be the leaders of tomorrow, whether you are outspoken or whether you are, like me, more introverted. And ultimately, we don't have a choice. We must speak up. And speaking up takes many forms. Speaking up means showing up at events that build community. It means showing up for those you love. It means showing up for those who need your help. Speaking up means using your voice to advocate for yourself, to advocate for the causes that matter to you and that advance the cause of justice, and to advocate for those who cannot speak for themselves. And speaking up means participating in the political process so that those who hold elective or appointed office are representing you, your communities, and your interests. So let me share with you three pieces of advice that have helped me speak up. First, know who you are and embrace who you are. As I thought about what I wanted to say to you, I mentioned to a friend that the prospect of talking to a group of hundreds of powerful young women, and as I look out in the audience, I realize this group comprises men and women of all ages. But speaking to a group of this size made me a little nervous. And my friend said, tell them you're nervous. Tell them you're nerdy. And the minute she said that, I relaxed. I realized that embracing who I am and putting that out there, rather than pretending to be someone I'm not, gives me the courage to speak up. With her advice, my friend was reminding me of the importance of embracing who I am, who we are, without apology. Last year, the actor Tracy Ellis Ross, star of the hit series Black-ish, reflected on this idea in her speech at the Glamour Women of the Year Awards. Tracy Ellis Ross was describing a moment when she came to know herself and define her experiences on her terms. As she spoke about how she recovered from a recent breakup, Tracy Ellis Ross said the following, and I quote, "I did what enlightened ladies do, and I got out my journal. I'm sitting there free writing, maybe conversing with my inner child, and I write down, my life is mine. My life is mine. Seems so obvious," she said, "but obviously it wasn't, because I have not been living my life as if it was my own. I mean, to a certain extent, yes, but on a deep level, no. So if my life is actually mine, then I have to really live it for myself. I have to put myself first and not be looking for permission to do so." In this moment, Tracy Ellis Ross was confronting the need to live her life based on her own dreams and goals and not on anyone else's. There are many people in your life who will tell you what you should or should not do, who you should or should not be. In order to fully embrace yourself, you must be willing to listen and trust yourself over others. This is not to say that you should disregard the advice of your friends, family, teachers, coaches, and others, but rather it's to say that they do not have the final word in determining who you are or what you can do. Live for yourself and not for anyone else. Tracy Ellis Ross considers this to be the brave you. I consider it to be the first step in becoming a leader, the first step in claiming your own voice. My second piece of advice, don't be afraid to take risks. To put it another way, walk towards opportunities that frighten you. Don't turn your back and walk away from them. Now, I'm not telling you to be reckless. Be clear about the difference between putting yourself or other people in harm's way and trying new challenges. But I do feel that the most meaningful experiences I've had in my life have resulted from trying things that frightened me. So here's one example from my own experience. One of the most significant risks I've taken was the decision I made to spend my junior year of college at a university in England, even though I had never been out of the country before, and indeed I had never before been on a plane up to that point. That decision led to one of the most transformative experiences of my college years and has remained one of the defining moments of my life. That experience taught me that I could quickly adjust to and feel completely at home in a different country. It helped me see that people from different cultures understand and approach the world differently, and it turned me into a traveler, someone who seizes every opportunity to visit new places. Perhaps most importantly, it taught me the value of being willing to take risks, to walk toward the things that frighten me. And I would venture to say that each of my accomplishments in life has required me to choose the unfamiliar over the comfortable. Now, a friend of mine by the name of Bonnie Bassler was once a graduation speaker on a program that included the actor Robert De Niro and the distinguished, path-breaking, late African-American journalist Gwen Ifill. Because that program was organized in alphabetical order, Bonnie Bassler spoke first. And she said this amazing thing that I will never forget. Bonnie began her speech by saying that she was really intimidated to be speaking on the same program as these two famous speakers, the people the audience really wanted to listen to. Now, Bonnie herself is a brilliant molecular biologist, but she was right to assume that most of the people in the audience had never heard of her. Bonnie told the audience that she got over her fear by imagining the worst that could happen. The worst that could happen, she said, was that she would give a quote-unquote bad speech. And then people would say, "That poor woman," or "Too bad we had to listen to a boring speech." And then they forget what she said. And once Bonnie faced that risk and realized that that was probably the worst thing that could happen, then she felt freed up to speak up. And in fact, she went on to give a great speech. I mean, I was actually in the audience that day. She gave this amazing speech about the power of studying science. She got a double standing ovation. And then Robert De Niro came to the mic and said, I'm going to clean this up. Okay. And said, okay, now what am I supposed to say? So, I mean, so you sort of never, but it was an amazing move of flipping the script. Anyway, of course, not all risks result in successful outcomes. We all make mistakes, and not everything we try will turn out the way we plan. But failing at something does not make you a failure. Making mistakes isn't fun, it doesn't feel good, but your mistakes teach you valuable lessons. They teach you that life is full of second chances. You build confidence and strength in ways you may not have imagined, sometimes simply by getting back up, and other times by trying again and succeeding. One of today's keynote speakers, Serena Williams, said it best when she said, and I quote, I really think a champion is defined not by their wins, but by how they can recover when they fall. Here's my third piece of advice. It comes from the psychologist Ellen Langer. And she said this, you don't make right decisions, you make decisions right. Let me say that again. You don't make right decisions, you make decisions right. Now, I love this idea because it helps us to protect ourselves from unproductive feelings of regret, and it helps us keep control of our lives. We are all going to face difficult decisions, times when we have to choose between two attractive options, who to love, what job to take, what school to attend, where we want to live. If you're like me, you can spend a lot of time weighing the pros and cons and making lists and worrying about how to avoid making a mistake. But Ellen Langer's observation can free us from unnecessary worry. It prevents us from placing too much weight on the moment of deciding, because it reminds us that whatever we decide, we retain the power to learn from the experience and to make it a good decision. So in February 2015, when I was offered the presidency of Swarthmore, I faced one of those tough decisions. I had a job I loved as a professor. I enjoyed teaching, conducting research. I liked living in Princeton in a community of good friends and close colleagues. And I asked myself whether it made sense to uproot myself, to move to a community that was unfamiliar, to take on a challenging new job with much more responsibility. But in the end, I decided that I should seize the opportunity to learn something new and take the job that would allow me to have a greater influence in the lives of young people. I have made this decision right by trying to learn as much as I can, by meeting wonderful new people, by pushing myself beyond my comfort zone, and helping to lead an extraordinary college into an exciting new chapter in its history. But here's the thing. If I had not taken the job, that wouldn't have been a bad decision either. I would have had ways to make that decision, the decision to stay put, right, and make that the best decision as well. So embrace who you are and speak your deepest truth. Don't let anyone tell you you are not enough or that you are too much. Over the course of your life, you will grow and build upon who you are, but fundamentally, you must affirm your identity. Second, don't be afraid to take risks. Say what you need to say, go where you need to go, do what you need to do, and don't let fear get in the way. And third, don't worry about making the right decision. Whatever choices you make, you have the power to make the decision right. In closing, I want to leave you with a line from Lin-Manuel Miranda's Hamilton. The haunting refrain that George Washington sings first and other characters pick up later. History has its eyes on you. History has its eyes on you. And here's what I love about that line. It moves in two directions. It reminds us that our lives, your lives, are the fulfillment of the dreams and sacrifices of previous generations. The past, your actual and symbolic foreparents, had their eyes on you before you were born. The mere idea of you inspired them and gave them hope. This line, "History has its eyes on you," also reminds us that our lives, your lives, are unfolding in what for the future will be its history. So in other words, for the future, the moment we are living in now, is its history. How will you contribute to that history? Speak up. How will future generations know you? Speak up. What are your ambitions? Speak up. History has its eyes on you, and we cannot wait to see what lies in store for you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, President Smith. I like what you said today. Walk towards opportunities that frighten you. Don't turn your back on them. Just great advice. Thank you so much for sharing with us as we talk about the importance of speaking up. On now to our next speaker on the panel today, Miss Dina Blizzard. In short, Dina Blizzard is one funny mother. She has several viral videos. You may have seen them. I have, including her back-to-school rant, which has over 96 million views, Chardonnay and Go, which has over 24 million views. She is a comedian, also a mother of three, who has written and starred in her own off-Broadway show. She's created the board game for wine lovers and also moms and other shameless people. She was also on Live with Kelly as a top five co-host winner, if you got a chance to see her on that show, as she came on with her fun and wit. She also served as the official host of the Miss America pageant preliminaries for 10 years, co-hosting with Anderson Cooper at that point. We also know she is also on the radio on NJ 101.5. In her free time, Blizzard enjoys making videos about wine and laughing until her face hurts. And she drinks in her living room every Tuesday on Facebook Live, and she calls it Tipsy Tuesday. And her fans join her around the world to do it. She says she hates doing dishes, but she also enjoys gluten-free lasagna. Please welcome to the stage comedian and mother of three who will also be speaking about the importance of speaking up, Miss Dina Blizzard.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. So it is a pleasure to be here. And Valerie, was she not fabulous, right? So fabulous. And Valerie and I did not get a chance to kind of swap stories before we started, so I'm hearing it for the first time, and I just thought there were so many things that we have in common. So for those of you, you did hear my bio, which is slightly ridiculous. I probably wrote it when I was drunk. But this is some of the things we do. We have an off-Broadway show. I used to do audience warm-up. I started as a comedian, so at the core, I am a comedian, and I think it was so interesting, Valerie. You're like, you know, Dina's so outgoing, and I'm a nerd. The reality is I am also a nerd. I am a biology nerd. I have a degree in biology. I have a master's in gerontology, which means I'll never have a job. And I was much like pretty much everybody here in the room, you know, 15 years ago, like everyone, the idea of getting on stage in front of people was very daunting. And so what I also loved about your speech, Valerie, was just this idea of always moving towards the things that make you uncomfortable. In general, as people were taught, this makes me uncomfortable, I'm just going to walk the other way or go hang out with my friends. That's what we do. What I have found in my career, starting as a stand-up and kind of moving through each of these, I somehow landed in the corporate world, and I started
hosting conferences for like big tech companies, which was lovely. And I had fancy outfits and I loved it and we had fabulous food, except for the fact that every time I was up on these stages, I would kind of take in this moment in front of thousands of people and I would look to my left and look to my right and I was like, why am I the only woman up here? What is happening? Where are all the women? And I would say this to the executives that were up here with me, and they'd say, well, you're up here. I'm like, you know, I don't really work here. I don't work here. I'm just hanging out with you for the weekend. And so I went home, and I said to my husband, I was like, you know, I could probably start a whole business of teaching executives, teaching adult women how to be great speakers. But what will change in 20 years? What will be different if we do not put time into teaching our young women how to be better speakers? I have two high school girls, and I have a son in college. And so this is a very important issue for me now, and it just kind of all of my worlds were coming together. And so when I thought about it, I thought, okay, so why am I? Am I perceived as being a great speaker? And the reality is it comes from comedy. And every artist that I know, whether they're a comedian or spoken word or poet, all of them are great speakers. But my normal friends, my friends that aren't artists, they hate it. They hate getting in front of people. And I thought, okay, so why is that? Why is it that my artists are fine and my normal friends not so fine? And the reality is that as artists, this is what we do. We get on stage all the time, over and over, and we keep trying. And I thought, okay, so let that be the beginning part. So what I'm about to show you is Ladies Out Loud. It is the beginning this is the back to school round. I'm not gonna show it to you, but the visual, you may remember, I just went to Target and drank vodka and talked about school supplies. I'm not going to show that. Okay. So this is Ladies Out Loud. At its core, it is a 7-week program, 6 weeks of programming. The seventh week is where we have our girls perform a graduation set. And the entire program is based in the arts. So as girls sign up for the program, they can pick some type of artistic track. So they can pick poetry or spoken word or do an original story. And the idea is that they will work on the story over the course of these 7 weeks, but they're also going to learn improv. They're going to be put in situations where they're uncomfortable. They're also going to learn how to pitch ideas. And if we don't like their ideas, we're going to boo them. And guess what? They're going to live. Like, nothing horrible is going to happen. I think as women, if we put an idea into the universe and somebody doesn't like it, you're like, I am never talking to her again. I am done. Never putting another idea. And it's not. It's not a great way. You know, going back to what Valerie said, women, I have an off-Broadway show and I love it. But why don't I see more women voices? Why are we not putting more of our stories into the universe? And so there's a big part of writing into the program. What I thought we would do today is not so much talking and more showing you what we do with this program. So again, all of the people that are kind of moderating or creating this curriculum right now are artists. And our idea is to eventually share this curriculum and start chapters around the country. So if you are somebody out there who says, I would like to do this in my community, please reach out to us because it's a wonderful program. We were able to run two programs in South Jersey. We recently did a program at Urban Promise in Camden, and they're wonderful. And the idea, and I tell the girls, we're not going to graduate 12 amazing speakers. We're going to graduate 12 girls who are better speakers than when they started. And that's our goal overall. So what I want you to do right now, in the interest of being uncomfortable, can we turn the lights up a little bit in here? I don't know if that's possible. So what I want you to do is I want everybody to turn around and meet somebody right now that you don't know and talk to them, somebody that you don't know at all. All right, that's good. Okay, that's all right. All right, we're good. That's enough. That's enough. Can I have that mic? Just one for now. Hey, Bob. Bob.
Hey, Bob. I'm good, right? All right, very good, everybody. Thank you very much. All right, so that's most of you probably came in and sat down and didn't say a word to the person next to you just talked to, right? That's what we all do. We all go for our comfort zone. So you all met somebody. So we're going to start to meet some people in our audience and create teams. You guys are going to be playing some of our improv games. Now, just keep in mind that I thought you were all going to be like 16 when we set this up. So some of this might get a little weird. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to create four teams from here up, you're a team. From here back, you're a team. Same thing, you guys are a team, you guys are a team. All right, so really quickly, what I want to do is meet somebody who's going to represent this team right here. Who's the coolest person in your section? Come here, let's meet you. Come on over. Yeah, over here, hurry up. Come on. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right, so what is your name?
Kanaya.
All right, Kanaya, what's the coolest thing about you that you want your team to know about you and why you will be their leader?
I'm going to start my own Muslim fashion line, so that's pretty cool.
All right. No, you can stay there. All right, and then tell us something interesting about you that we can name your team. What is the most interesting fact about you?
All right, poetry.
All right, we love it. So we're here for the poets. This section, you're the poets over here. Clap for your team. All right. This section. All right, let's meet you. You got to be as cool as the poet. Are you as cool as her? Or cooler? More cooler, which is not a word, just so you know. Okay. All right, what is your name?
Amber.
Amber, and are you in high school?
Yeah, I'm a senior.
And are you in high school? Where'd she go? Yeah, what year are you? You're a senior? Cool. And what's the coolest thing about you that you want to share? Let them see you. Turn around. What do you want to tell them about you? Why are you so fun and cool?
I sing, I write, and I play a lot of instruments.
All right, very cool. We love artists. And is there something interesting that you would like to tell your team so we can name your team? Like, what's another interesting fact about you?
I'm in drama club.
Are you sure? Because you seem unsure with your hands. Like, I'm kind of, so the kind of actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. You're definitely in it now. Okay, cool. All right, drama club. You are the drama club. Let's hear it for drama club. All right, back here. Anybody back here? Cool, in your section? All right, stand up. Yeah, come on. Come on over. Look at all the young kids. I love it. Are you a junior or senior?
Junior.
You're a junior. All right, what is your name?
Beyonce.
Beyonce, love it. And what's the coolest thing about you? You're this whole section, Beyonce. What do you got?
I work to bring politics back into schools.
All right, we love that. All right, young voices. I like your little banners there. So what's a cool, interesting fact about you that you would like to name your team? We have the poets. We have the drama club. How about you?
I play basketball.
Basketball. Let's hear it for hoops. All right, Blondie, come on over. Okay, and are you in high school?
Yeah.
Okay, are you a senior?
Yes.
Okay, and what's your name?
Emma.
Emma, and what's a cool fact about you?
I'm a president of my school's IN Club, which goal is to involve special needs students more in our school.
Lovely, lovely work that you're doing. Look, you were really, were you like practicing? You seem like really focused.
I was like, I don't know.
No, it's very cool. And then like, what's a cool fact about you? What will you call your section?
I cannot walk in high heels.
Okay, what is it? The models. No, the anti-models, the can't walk straight. Go ahead. Oh, you have flats on. Look at you. You did. Put your heels on and let's, yeah, it's going to be awful. The bad walkers. Let's hear it for the bad walkers. Okay. So here's what's going to happen. So we are going to try our first game. So we need four people from this section. So go ahead, stand up. Yeah, come on out. Go ahead up to the stage. Let's have you up here. Anybody from this section? The girl up there in the white shirt? Anybody? Is that four? I think I have four. Okay, good. So you guys are up. How about this section from the drama club in the red shirt? We're all, okay, yellow, you can come up. Are you a mom like? Are you a kid? What are you? You're 18? Oh, my gosh, you're adorable. Come up. Where are the moms that are here? I want a mom up here on this team. Yeah, you look like a mom. Go ahead. Sure. One. Is that four? Yeah, what happened? One, two, three. I need one more. All right, red over there. Go ahead up. All right, so here's what's going to happen now. Where's Tracy? Tracy, stand up. Tracy is one of our artists. So here's what's going to happen. First team, both teams up on stage. Both of you get up on stage. All right, so I'm going to hand this over to Tracy in 1 second, and she is going to walk us through what we call our conducted rants.
Give it up for Dina, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, come on.
You guys are all the same team? You guys are a team? All right, you guys are a team? Cool. All right, good.
Okay, all right, this is called conducted rants. This is an exercise that we do with Ladies Out Loud. When you are learning to public speak, you know I'm a comedian by trade, and when you are up on stage, anything can happen at any time. You can have a heckler, you can have somebody fall out of their seat. When you're public speaking, someone could yell out, scenery could fall down if you're in the drama club and you're in the middle of a play. So this exercise is going to prepare them for public speaking, but we're gonna need you, your help. So here's what's happening. 1, 2, 3, 4, you are team one, you guys are team two. Okay, so when I point to you, you're gonna raise your hand and tell me something that reminds you of school. When I say school, what do you think? Yell it out.
Calculus.
Okay, your word is calculus. Remember calculus. Give me another, and your word is calculus. Your word is calculus. What, awkward?
Homework.
Oh, homework. I was like, oh, awkward for me. Homework. Homework, homework, homework. Okay, give me another word. What?
Headaches.
Headaches, headaches. Headaches remind
this
you of school. Headaches.
School.
Headaches, okay. Give me one more, all the way in the back. Wait a minute, you're not in the back, she's in the back. Hold on a minute. All the way in the back. Okay, I can't hear what she's saying.
I don't know what she's
saying. Books. Wow, you can hear that all the way? You're good. Books. What kind of books? Give me a specific. Textbooks. 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 Okay, now here's the deal. Remember your word. Repeat it nice and loud.
Calculus.
Homework.
Headaches.
Textbooks.
You guys love whatever your word was. You guys hate it, okay? So whatever your word was. Now, here's the hard part of this game. This is called conducted rants. Yeah. You guys are all going
to
get together closer. Get together closer. Okay, so well, I'm going to be the conductor. When I point to whatever actor I point to, they're going to step forward and start ranting about why they love or hate whatever their topic is. When I put my hand up, you guys are going to stop and step back. When I point to you again, you're going to pick up where you left off. So this is active listening. You've got to be paying attention and keep the story going. If I point to two of you at the same time, you both come forward. Three at the same time, both come forward. You've got to keep the story going. Everybody got an idea of what's going on? Do you guys have an idea what's going on? The mom has no idea what's going on. All right. So here's the deal. I'm the conductor. This is called conducted rants.
Here's your mic. Mm-hmm. You have a laugh.
When I point to you, you're going to step forward and talk about what you love or hate, whatever your thing is. You're going to start by saying, geometry. I love geometry. And then start talking about why. Okay?
And you have to talk into those mics.
You're going
to
talk into the mic. Okay, you guys ready? Everybody got it? You guys ready? They need a little bit of love. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Can I explain it one more time? Okay. When I point you, you're going to step forward and talk about why you love whatever your topic is. Okay. Are you, you're hate. You guys hate it. You guys hate it. All right. You guys ready? Everybody got it? Here we go. You're going to pay attention to me. I'm your conductor. Step forward. Go ahead. Into that mic. You can handle the mic.
I think textbooks are just the best thing ever. They're like I'm a biggest fan. Like, if there was a word for biggest fan of textbooks, Sarah would be the name, because that's my name. And, you know, like, you just learn so much information from...
Okay, I hate homework so much because after spending my entire day at school, 8 hours, I come home. Well, I have a club before that. And then after that, I come home and then I'm like sitting there 4 hours trying to do homework. Like, what?
Good. Step forward,
brother. Homework. God, homework, I love it so much. When I go home, there is nothing I want to do more than open another book.
Good.
I hate calculus with all my heart. Every day I have to go into that class first block and I have to add, subtract, multiply. Like, what is that? Why do I need that in life? And the teacher, he's smelly. He stinks. He wears off-brand shoes. Like,
good. Step forward.
So what's the point of textbooks? Like, do the people who wrote the books, do they really know what they're talking about? Like, what's the point? Like, you wrote this book, you charge us $100 for this book if we lose it, but what's the point of the textbooks? Like, we could just get the information from the teacher. Why do I have to carry this 10-pound book every single day?
Yes, beautiful. Go ahead.
I love headaches because, oh my goodness.
You got it.
I love headaches because they give me pain. Without no pain, you ain't got no gain.
Keep going, you're good. Good, that's good. Step forward.
I hate headaches. I can't stand them. And I go home from work, and work is just not a big headache on top of the headache. And then I go home, and then I got to deal with my kids. And my husband walks in. Oh, what's for dinner? I don't know. What'd you pick up on the way home? I mean, come on. I got a headache.
Oh, my God. Miss Baker is like perfection. Calculus, oh my God. First I thought I was bad at math because like she hit me with geometry. I'm like, oh, them angles. But I'm like, oh my God, calculus and the sine, cosine, tangent, cotangent. Oh my God, I could marry it. And
you two, step forward. You two, both you guys, give them the mic. Keep going.
Okay, you need to know just keep how talking. Good these
I
textbooks
want to
are. And I think they're just
into the
so
ground.
Good because
like,
these people put all this information.
It.
You can
I don't
just learn
understand
so much.
Why I need
you two come up.
I love headaches because
so
without
much,
it, you won't feel no pain. And if you
out.
Feel pain, you won't
and
be
like,
great. So go ahead
afterwards.
And have headaches and feel the pain. So
you two, all four of you.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think these are my headaches. So I hate my headaches. So you try taking Advil. That doesn't work. What about you?
AP Calc test. Hit me with that.
All of you come up. All of you come up. And that's why I love whatever it is.
And that's why I hate calculus.
There it is!
Woo! All right, thank you ladies so much. You can head back.
Let's hear one more time for all of our participants.
Nice work.
They did a great job.
Great job.
And let's hear it for Tracy. She's another resident comedian and part of our program. So clap for her. She did a great job.
Nice work, girls.
So, you know, like, I'm sure I planned probably an hour and a half worth of things for us to do in the 15 that we had. So, so one of the most interesting things that I found about our program is that, for the most part, you know, our program is called Ladies Out Loud, and I didn't really realize how important that word would become. One of the most interesting things we found that in general is that the girls in our program don't ever want to be loud. One of the things that we do is we ask them to bring a current event to one of the programs, and they have to present it for 30 seconds, but it has to be a happy current event. And every time they show up, they're like, I'm ready. I'm like, great. Now deliver it to me as angry as possible. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's supposed to be happy. I'm like, no, it's supposed to be happy. I just want to see you do it angry. And they can't. They all just stop and they'll go, I'm very angry. And I'm like, that's not angry. I know you're a teenager. I know what you're capable of. So, but it's interesting to us that this particular exercise is very difficult for them. And it's interesting that at such a young age already, young women are not comfortable yelling or speaking up for themselves. And so one of the things that we started doing is this, if Valerie and I were partners, Valerie would go to one side of the room, I stay on my side of the room, and we scream our speeches at each other, which sounds very crazy. But we do that the first day. And then the next day, we talk more about using volume and where we can use it in our speeches. And it's an ongoing process, and hopefully after those 7 weeks, you know, we have women who have something important to say, something they're really passionate about, and have skill sets to teach them how to do it. So, you know, I thought all of our participants today did a great job. You know, the whole point, yeah, clap for them. Our whole point is to teach public speaking in a fun way. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be that you have these great ideas, like Valerie was talking about, and if given the platform, if given the stage, that you can show people how much you love it and people will enjoy listening. So thank you all so much for listening to our presentation today, and I hope you have a good rest of the day. So thank you.
Wasn't that awesome and fun? I really enjoyed that exercise. It is supposed to be fun, you know. It can be maybe a challenge to speak your mind, but should also be fun at times. All right, we're about to open the floor up to questions in a few moments, so I would like to invite Ms. Smith and Ms. Blizzard back to the stage. And so be thinking about your questions. And so before we get to the audience questions, I'm going to kick it off with the Q&A first. But let me say this. Was that not just an awesome presentation by Valerie Smith and Dina Blizzard? Thank you so much for making it fun.
Yeah.
So my question to start it off is, what is your one or two tips then in helping us leave here and remember the importance of speaking up? Dina?
I think, you know, my son just started doing stand-up. He's 18 years old. And I always tell people, if you are deathly afraid of something, like when I started doing stand-up, I stopped thinking. I feel like sometimes thinking is the worst thing you could possibly do because you will think yourself right out of getting on a stage. And so I would tell myself, stop thinking and just tell your feet to bring you up there. And so for me, that was a big thing. I was like, just my feet will get me up there and then my mind will have to figure out what to do once I'm there. And so for me, it was just kind of, you know, learning to be in the moment and not really having like lots of thoughts moving forward.
Feet first and then let the mind follow.
Yeah.
Ladies, the session is not over. Please let's show respect if we can. Ms. Smith?
Thank you. I think the most important element for me of speaking up is the value of sharing your own story. And so it's about self-advocacy. It's about acknowledging that there is something that you have to say that no one else can say, and that that is an important way of asserting the power of your identity, making a difference in the world, making a difference for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, we're going to open it up to the audience for questions. Please raise your hand if you have a question. You can also begin to file in a line here in the middle as we go around. If we can't get the microphone to you fast enough, please feel free to just stand up and start a line here in the middle.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, actually, it's afternoon.
Is it?
So my question to both of you, I work in a high school with teenage girls. And oftentimes, teenagers in general are told to control themselves and to not express themselves so emotionally. And I think that this session was very powerful because it tells girls to speak up. But oftentimes, especially women of color are told to not express themselves because we are too loud, too boisterous, too emotional. And I'm working very hard to let them know that it is okay to express yourself. I guess the question that I have is, how do you get teenagers to use all of that extraness to express themselves where adults will hear them in the right way?
Yeah.
You know, because like I listen to them, but oftentimes because of the way they're expressing themselves, other people don't hear them, but they still have something great and awesome to say.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, so one thing that struck me so much, Dina, I loved your presentation, but one of the things that struck me so immediately was the fact that you are helping young people use the arts as a means of expression. And I think that there's something to be said there about teaching young people a multiplicity of skills that they can use in order to be able to express themselves, in order to be able to develop confidence, and also to be able to read an audience and figure out what's going to be effective for them. So I think that that passion, that emotional intensity that you talk about, are extremely important skills and extremely important capacities. But to the extent that young people can appreciate the fact that they have a range of different tools, they have a toolkit full of techniques that they can use, I think that can also help them with their efficacy. So part of the job is to help them embrace and appreciate the intensity of their feeling, but also help them develop a toolkit. And so I think that being able to develop those skills through the use of the arts is a really powerful opportunity.
It is. I have a mic. I'm good. So one of the things I've learned just from comedy in general, I'm a comedian and we have this off-Broadway show and you know, you heard the bio earlier. We have this board game and a lot of it's based around wine and we have Tipsy Tuesday. But the reality is that sitting down and having a glass of wine is really more about just getting women to sit down. Just sit down and talk to each other and connect. And I have found that we have had great success in talking about feeling like I'm going to lose it at the end of the day or feeling like I'm the only one crying in a CVS parking lot. And the reason why is because there's a certain vulnerability. And I don't think that we talk about or encourage our young people or ourselves in general to be vulnerable and to put ourselves into the universe. Because I think that when you do, you find connections with people. And so even when I'm talking to
to my own kids. I'm like, if you're yelling at me, I've already stopped listening. If you want to be heard, then figure out a way that makes me want to listen to you. And if you use more I words, like I'm uncomfortable because you said this, or it makes me upset when I see this happen, I think that there's something really important to be said about learning to be vulnerable and finding people that connect with you in that way. And I think if you can teach that to young people, I think it's just such an important asset. I have a daughter with special needs, and I do. I have lots of breakdowns because of it, and I talk about it in social media, and we have a great following of special needs moms and autism parents, and there's a great need to talk about it. And so I think the greater thing is to talk about making connections and doing it by being vulnerable.
Great. Young lady, your name and your question. It's on.
I know, it's just that I'm tall. So my question is like I'm a relatively loud person, both in the metaphorical sense and in the actual volume sense, as my mother has told me many times. And my question is that sort of as like a louder lady, I have noticed a lot of sort of negative responses to that sort of thing. And I'm wondering what you guys have sort of had experience with that and how you handled having negative reactions to being sort of like a loud, outspoken woman.
I've had someone say to me once, they were like, you know, it's you're just a very aggressive person. And I was like, what? Because I'm on stage and because I say things. And I think just being a female comic is very unusual. It made me think to myself for a second, well, I don't want to be perceived as aggressive. I want to be perceived as somebody that has an opinion. And so, you know, going back to the same thing, just kind of keeping myself in check. And I breathe a lot. I'm just under my bum until I can calm down and then say what I need to say. Because I really do believe that people will listen if you are showing that you have a platform that they want to listen to. So I breathe and I drink wine.
Do you have something to add, Ms. Smith? I'm going to try and get as many questions. Do you want to add on that particular question? Okay. Here. Did that help?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Your name and your question, please.
Hi. My name is Lexi, and I was wondering how you respond in the moment if you say something or tell a joke that doesn't carry the way you wanted it to, and how you can adjust your tone and your demeanor to best.
Yeah, that's definitely a skill set. It's funny, people always say you're very quick on stage, and I know that I am, but in real life, I'm like everybody else. Like the next day, I'll be like, oh, I should have said that, like that, you know? Like, I think as a comedian, early on, you care. You care a lot about what people think. Eventually, you kind of find your voice, and you learn how to read a room. You know, if the room looks kind of like a tense group of people, you learn to kind of dial back. It's a very important skill set in order to kind of walk in and say, like, I can do this or I can say that. But if it doesn't go well, honestly, the greatest thing you can do is say, I don't think that went well. I think we all know it didn't go well. I'm going to just backtrack a second. I think that there was something really important even in Valerie's speech about, you know, being in the moment and saying, if you're nervous, say, I'm really nervous. I really wasn't prepared to get up in front of everybody. You know, again, going back to being vulnerable and just being really honest. If everybody in the room knows that you said something inappropriate and you're not addressing it, then it's super uncomfortable. But if you're like, you know what, I don't think that went well, you know, at least we're all being honest about what happened in the room. So that's my best answer. So
thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, young lady, your name?
Hello, my name is Shelby, and I've noticed a recent trend among women my age and girls younger, and I'm sure it carries throughout all generations, that women, whether it be in comedy or in our own society, often are self-deprecating and lessen their own achievements. How do you suggest that we as women build ourselves up and want to speak up, stand up, and have confidence to pursue our own goals or dreams?
That's a great question. Do you want to talk to?
Sure. No, I think I completely agree with that perception. And I think so much of it goes, to my mind, to accepting ourselves in our totality. I think some of it comes from a sense that if one claims one's achievements, many of us have been raised to think it's indecorous. It's, you know, you're calling attention to yourself in a way that may make other people uncomfortable. And I think the important thing, there's an interesting balance to me between centering oneself one's experience and one's advocacy, and also extending a certain kind of graciousness and compassion to other people. And the one does not have to preclude the other. And so I think that's the important thing to keep in mind is to be able to own the fact, to own your accomplishments and achievements, to recognize that when you are talking about them and even celebrating them, you're not doing that for self-aggrandizement. You're doing it also to help inspire others. Your story is meaningful to others, and you don't need to be apologetic for that. Mm-hmm. But talking about yourself and your own accomplishments also doesn't prevent you from being able to listen to and hear other people's stories as mm-hmm. well. So achieving that balance, I think, is helpful.
Yeah. And I think it's hard to talk about yourself, you know, in that way without coming across as, you know, being grandiose. But I think that there's, for a long time when I started doing stand-up, people would say to me, so you're a comedian. And I was like, no, I just do comedy. And they're like, I was like, because I knew comedians. I knew people that were really funny, and I was not that funny. I was like, no, I just do comedy. And I think I pretended to be a comedian for about 5 years. And it was an act. I would go and be like, isn't that funny? It was just like, and then eventually I pretended long enough until I was actually funny. And then you couldn't tell me I wasn't funny. Like, I was like, I worked really hard, and now I know I'm funny. So part of it is that whole kind of fake it till you make it, you know? And I see my son, and he's up there, and he's telling his jokes, and they're not that funny yet, but he's pretending. And he'll say to me, is it good? I'm like, no, but it'll get good. So you're on the right track. And so a lot of it is, a lot of times, whether it's on comedy stages or those parts where I have to advocate for my daughter, and I don't feel powerful, I will act like I'm like, oh yeah, and then this and this, and then I'll go and cry in my car afterwards, you know, like, because it is, it's a lot. It's a lot of emotions, and you're not really sure how to handle it because you're unsure of yourself. So a lot of it is just kind of putting on this front and then calling your friends and be like, this would happen, you know, until eventually, you know, you are really confident in what you're talking about. So good luck.
So celebrate yourself. Thank Absolutely. You. I think we only have time for one more question. That those who don't get a chance to ask, you may have to just try and hunt these two down.
Just stalk us.
If you can throughout the conference. Young lady, your name, your question.
Hi, my name is Mariatu, and my question is, what advice would you give to be consistent in forming a career?
Say that one more time.
What advice would you give to be
consistent in forming a career?
And?
In forming a career.
Oh, so how would you go about maybe selecting a career if you're trying to figure it out?
Yeah.
Am I right? I want to make sure we got your question right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, my son is in college right now, and he just started, so I'm paying a lot of money for the first 2 months, and he called and he said, I think I'm going to change my major. I was like, fabulous. And he was really upset about it, and I was like, this is your job. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, I didn't figure out that I wanted to be a comedian until I was 30. And I was like, I'm 30, I'm going to die soon. I should do everything I've ever wanted. You know, like 40 I was fine with, but for whatever reason, 30 hit me hard. And I was like, I should do everything I've ever wanted. And I said to my husband, I've always wanted to take a comedy class. So he bought me this class. And I always think to myself, gosh, I didn't figure out what I wanted until I was 30. But the reality is there are some people that never figure out what they've always wanted. And so, you know, your job at this point in your life is to try everything. Try everything, fail at everything. I think one of the greatest speeches I heard, I was working in one of my TV shows and talk, and we had the woman that created Spanx, who's like the youngest self-made billionaire ever, and she was on the stage, and someone had asked her, what do you think is the greatest advice that you've gotten? She goes, honestly, it was my dad. Every day I would come home from school, and my dad would say to me, what did you fail at today? She goes, well, I tried out for cheerleading, I didn't make that, and then I tried out for the band, I didn't make that, I couldn't play the tambourine, and then we go, great, let's see what you fail at tomorrow. It was never about, you know, what great achievement. It was always, if you fail at enough things, you're going to start to figure out what are the things you are good at and what are the things you really want to work hard at to not fail anymore.
I want to say, I'm sorry, I know we're out of time, but I have to say one thing about this. Forget the idea of consistency. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I think the most important thing at this point in your life is to be as intellectually curious and open mm-hmm. as you can possibly be. And that will definitely mean... Mm-hmm. Thank you. That will definitely mean that you're opening yourself to the possibility of failing at things, but you're learning about yourself, learning what you're good at, and learning that you can learn from everything. So I would say just let the idea of consistency go. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much to our panelists today, President Valerie Smith, comedian Dean Blizzard. Thank you so much for teaching us how to speak up. I'm Shari Williams with Channel 6. My pleasure to be your MC today. Action News in the building. Hey, we all have a story. Share yours, okay? And if you want to see these ladies or you see me and you want to talk, don't hesitate. Have a great day. Enjoy the conference.